Today's shiur is Masechta Megillah Daf Yud, and we will begin on Daf Tes Amud Beis at the bottom Mishnah, three lines from the bottom. Ein Bein Shila Yerushalayim. As we had begun to discuss in previous shiur, after Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Hamikdash, the Mishkan was put up in Gilgal, where it was for 14 years. That Mishkan did not have the full-fledged status of a Mishkan, and therefore during that time, as we learned in the previous shiur, bumis were permitted. Then the Mishkan was built in Shiloh, where it was for 369 years. It had stone walls, but a canopy as a roof, not a full-fledged roof, and it had a full-fledged status of the Mishkan. After Shiloh was destroyed, the Mishkan was then annulled and given for a period of 57 years, and then the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim. Says the Mishnah, Ein Bein Shiloh Yerushalayim. There's no difference regarding the Mishkan when it was in Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash. We know that Ma'aseh Sheni and Kachem Kalim, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, must be eaten in Yerushalayim. Teaches us the Mishnah that when Shiloh was standing, Ma'aseh Sheni and Kachem Kalim were eaten wherever was in sight of Shiloh. According to Rashi, that means that if you could stand in a spot and see from that spot Shiloh, then you could eat in that spot Ma'aseh Sheni Kachem Kalim. This is Machloikis in understanding Rashi's position. Does that mean that you have to be able to see the Mishkan in Shiloh, or is it enough that you see the city of Shiloh? There are, however, other Rishonim that explain the Mishnah that the area from where you're allowed to eat Ma'aseh Sheni and Kachem Kalim is from where, if you're standing in the Mishkan and Shiloh, as far as you can see from that spot, that's how far you can eat these food items. There's also an interesting machlokes achronim that we're expanding the area of Shiloh to include, as we just said, anywhere that's Kol HaRoya. What is the status of an area which is outside the city of Shiloh, but is in the area of Roy that you could see Shiloh from there? The Karen Iris says there's a special din that we could eat Ma'aseh Sheni and Kachem Kalim in that area, but it's not to mean, says the Karen Iris, that that area has a full-fledged status of Shiloh. However, that's the position of the Briska Rav. However, the Karen Iris says that the area of Shiloh is expanded, that any place from where you could see Shiloh has a full-fledged din of Shiloh. Shiloh was a city that has a wall, and we're going to learn later in our Shir Mitzvah Shem, special dinim that apply to cities with walls. The Mefarshim, the Sfas Emes, explains why is Shiloh expanded to the area of Kol HaRoya, from where you could see it. So the Sfas Emes explains, we know that Shiloh was in the portion of Yosef. And regarding Yosef, Yaakov Avinu said, Alei Ayin. Yosef had a good eye, people enjoyed seeing him. Other Peshatim in Alei Ayin. So since Yosef is connected to the Ayin, that's why by Shiloh we follow the Kol HaRoya. Bishlaim, on the other hand, we could only eat Kachem Kalim and Ma'aseh Sheni, Lefnim and Achayla, inside the wall that surrounds Yerushalayim. V'kan, both in Shiloh and in Yerushalayim, kachim, nechalim fnim lekelim. They could only be eaten within the mechitzis, within the azara. The Mefarshim point out that when the Mishnah speaks about kachim kalim and ma'aseh sheni, the Mishnah uses the word oichlim. When it speaks about kachim kachim, it uses the words nechalim. Why is there a change of terminology? So explain. Kachim kalim and ma'aseh sheni may be eaten by everyone. So therefore, the Mishnah uses the words oichlin. However, kachim kachim, which may only be eaten by kahanim, So the Mishnah uses necholim, only specific people may eat it. Continues the Mishnah, kedusha shilo yesh achrei heter. After shilo was destroyed, bamis became permitted. However, kedusha shilayim, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, en achrei heter, there's no longer any right, even now, afterwards, to bring karbonis on bamis. And Rashi quotes the Gemara Masechet Zvachim that brings the basis for this psak, because the pasuk says kloy bosam at ato el menucha velanachla menucha zu shiloi v'nachla zu Yerushalayim. And the Gemara Masechet Zvachim explains why does the pasuk separate shiloi from Yerushalayim to differentiate that after shiloi was destroyed, bamis were permitted, and after Yerushalayim was destroyed, bamis are not permitted. The Gemara in Masechet Menachos discusses the situation where Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, and Shimon HaTzadik had two sons, Shimi and Yochanan. And there's two versions of what happened when Shimon HaTzadik died. One version has that Shimon HaTzadik actually wanted Chanya to replace him as his successor. However, Shimi, who was older, put out a rumor on Chanyoi in order that he should get the Kuna Gedoyla, and Chanyoi ran to Mitzrayim, built a temple, Hashem Avodah Zarah. The other version is Chanyoi at the beginning did not want to accept the Kuhuna and Gedoyla, and it went to Shimi. When he regretted and it was too late, he went and built a temple in Mitzrayim, and according to that version, the temple that Chanya built was L'shem Hashem. Amar Rav Yitzchak. So Rav Yitzchak says, Shemati shemekrivim b'beis Chanyai b'zman hazeh. I heard from my teachers that even b'zman hazeh, after the Churban Abayis, they still bring kabbonis in the temple that Chanyai erected in Mitzrayim. Explains the Gemara Rav Yitzchak's position. Kesava Rav Yitzchak obviously holds Beis Chanya la Beis Avodah Zarah. The Chanya's temple was not a Beis Avodah Zarah. Furthermore, the Kesava Kedusha Rishayin Kitchel Shatav like Kitchel Asalavai, when the Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash was sanctified, that doesn't remain forever. It only remains until the destruction. And since the Beis Hamikdash is now destroyed, we could bring Kabbonis outside of the Beis Hamikdash. What is the basis for this ruling? The Ksiv, the pasuk that we just quoted. Menucha, as we explained, refers to Zushiloi. Nachla refers to Yerushalayim. And the pasuk Makish Nachla leMenucha. The Torah compares Yerushalayim to Shiloi. Ma Menucha Yesh Achrei Heter. Just like after Shiloi, we were allowed to bring Kabbonis on Bamais. Af Nachla Yesh Achrei Heter. After the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, we could bring Kabbonis on Bamis. Tosfos Masechet Menachos asks, this could explain Rav Yitzchak's position. Why now, after the Churban HaBayis, we could bring Kabbonis on Bamis? But when Chanyoi was bringing Kabbonis in Mitzrayim, the Beis Hamikdash was still standing. And there's an Isser of Shchut Echutz, that when the Beis Hamikdash is standing, we can't bring Kabbonis elsewhere. What was the basis for what Chanyoi did? So one Teretz Tosfos Masechet Menachos says, actually, that Chanyoi acted inappropriately. Another Teretz Tosfos gives there, is that Chanyoi only brought Kabbonis of Goyim, not of Jews. And a third Teretz Tosfos says, that the Isser of Shchut Echutz only implies in Eretz Yisrael. But this was in Mitzrayim, and outside Mitzrayim, outside of Tzor, there is no Isser of Shchut Echutz. Another question that Tosfos asks here, how could Chanyoi bring Kabbonis in Mitzrayim? We know that Chazal decreed that Chutz Laretz is Tamei. How could Kabbonis be brought in an area that's Tamei? So Tosfos here answers that even though Chazal decreed Tumah on Eretz Ha'amim, they did not decree to the degree that it would be prohibited to bring Kabbonis. Others say that this temple that Chanyoi built and they brought Kabbonis was before Chazal made the Gzeira that you're not allowed to bring, that chutz laaretz is tamei, and therefore that wasn't a consideration. Amalei, so the people who heard what Rav Yitzchak said asked him, Amrit, did you really say it? Amal huloi, he said, no, I did not. Amar Rava, so Rava said, alakim, to vow, Amra, I know that your Rav Yitzchak said it, v'gamirna lamanei, I heard him say it. Asked the Gemara, or my tama kahadabei, what was the reason Rav Yitzchak retracted? Answered the Gemara Mishum the Kasher of Mary, because Rav Yitzchak heard the Kasher of Rameri. The Ramas of Rameri, Kedushas Shila, Rameri asked from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Kedushas Shila Yeshach Reheter, after Shila was destroyed, we were allowed to bring Kabbonis on Bamois. Kedushas Yishlaim Anach Reheter, after Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we cannot bring Kabbonis on the Mizbeach. Voitanat, and the other question that he asked, is the Mishnah Masechet Zvachim says, Mishabal Yishlaim, once Klal Yisrael came to Yerushalayim and built the Beis HaMikdash, Nesru HaBamis, the Bamis became prohibited, and there's no longer ever permission to bring a Kabban on a Bama. That's the Nachla that the Torah refers to, that you cannot bring Kabbanis or Bamis afterwards. Because of these two Mishnayas, Reb Yitzchak retracted from his original position. Ask Tosfos. Reb Yitzchak knew these Mishnayas. So when he made his original, when he took his original position that Kabbanis can be brought on Bamas, he was aware of his Mishnayos. What made him change his mind? Specifically, asked Tosfos, as we're going to learn in the next Gemara, we're going to see that this Shaila, if you're not allowed to bring on Bamas, if the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash always remains, is a Machlokes Tanoim. So why can't Reb Yitzchak say that he agrees with the Tanoim that hold that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash left after the Churban? Says Tosfos, and we're going to learn the Gemara with this approach. There is no question that once the Beis HaMikdash was built, outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash, Kabbanis may not be brought. Rabbi Yitzchak's original position was that Kabbanis could be brought everywhere, even in Mitzrayim. That Rabbi Yitzchak realized he made a mistake. The only question over which there is a Machloikas Tanoim, and the Mishnayos don't specifically disprove, is what is the status of the area of the Beis HaMikdash when the Beis HaMikdash is no longer standing. May Kabbanis be brought there or not? And the Gemara wants to suggest that it's a Machloikas Tanoim. Tanoihi, the Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, in Masechet Igis, Amar Rav Elazar, Shematik Shibayim Ben Heichel, I heard that when Klal Yisrael came back to build the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, with Ezra, Oisim Klaim Lahechel Klaim Lazara. As they were building, they made curtains around the area where the Beis HaMikdash would stand, and they made curtains around the area where the Azara would be. Just there was a difference how these curtains were put up. El Shebahechel Bainim Bechutz, the curtains that they were putting up around the area where the Beis HaMikdash would stand, so nobody is allowed to stand inside the area which is the Beis HaMikdash, so they stood from the outside of the curtains. Or Bazara, since one may stand in the Azara, Bayim and Mifnim, they put up the curtains from standing inside the Azara. Vam Rabbi Shua, however, says, Shemati Shemakriven Ap Bishem Bayis, I heard that Kabbanis can be brought even if there's no building standing. Oichlam Kacha Kachim Ap Bishem Kloim, Kacha Kachim may be eaten even though if there's no curtains. Kachim Kalam Maisesheni Ap Bishem Choyma, and you could eat Kacha Kalam and Maisesheni even though there's no wall around Yerushalayim. The Kedusha that was there from the beginning remains forever. Mechlal, obviously, Rabbi Elazar, who disagrees, Rabbi Yeshua, obviously holds, that Kedusha does not remain. And since it does remain, we had to put up new curtains. So we see that the Machlaikis of Kitchler, if the Kedusha remains or not, is Machlaikis, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Yeshua. Omle Revelina Ravashi, says Revelina Ravashi, Mimai. What makes you say that that's the Machloikis? Dilma the Kulama, Kedushu Shani Kitchla Shatva Kitchalat Lavai. Maybe the Kedushu remains forever. Umar, Mai Shmele Kamar. The Machloikis is, each one reports what he heard happened as they were building the Beis HaMikdash. Revelezah heard that this is the way it was erected. Umar, Mai Shmele Kamar. And Revishua heard what he, the way he heard the Beis HaMikdash was built. Ask the Gemara, if the Kedusha remains, So, and therefore, there's no need to rebuild it. The Kedusha is there from all along. So the question is, Klein Rav Elazar Lomeli, why do they have to put up these partitions? Even without those partitions, the Kedusha is there. And if the Kedusha is there, you should be allowed to bring Karbonis. Answer the Gemara, the partitions were not put up for halachic reasons. They were put up, let's see, Alma, it's not nice that the area of the Beis HaMikdash and where the Kohanim are doing the Avodah should be totally exposed. Ellis of the Gemara Kain Tanoi. The Machloikis, if the original Kedusha remains or not, is the following Machloikis, the Tanan. We learned in a Braisa. Om Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yosef. Lom Manu Chacham Eselu. We know that a city with a wall has various specific halachas. One is, as we're learning now, Masech the Megillah, regarding which day we read the Megillah. Another halacha is that we spoke that a Metzorah has to be sent out of any city with a wall. Another halacha is that there's a difference if one sells a home in a city with a wall versus if he sells a home in a city without a wall. If he sells a city without a wall, he can redeem it, and if he doesn't redeem it, it comes back to him by Yovel. In a city with a wall, it's just the opposite. If he doesn't redeem it within the first year of the sale, he can no longer redeem it, and and it doesn't come back to him by Yovel. So the Mishnah Masechta Erchin lists 9 cities that Klal Yisrael found having walls when they came back. Why did they mention only these 9 cities? Kshol b'nei Agoyla, Matzos Eilu v'Kitchim. When the people came back, in the time of Ezra, they found these cities with the wall still standing, and therefore they were sanctified as cities of Orichayma, Aval Rishonis. But the fact that cities had walls previously, Batlu Mishabat L'Aretz, that status fell away when Eretz Yisrael became destroyed. Alma, so we see Kedusha Rishonah, Kitchel Shata, V'lo Kitchel Aslovei, the Kedusha doesn't remain. V'rimini, ask the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yosi, V'chi Eilu B'vad Hayu, are these the only cities that are considered Arichayma? V'lo Kvan Nemer, it says in the Pasuk, Shishim Ir Kol Chevel Argav. There were 60 cities in the region of Argav. V'ksiv, and the Pasuk describing those cities says, Kol Eilu B'tsuras Gevaya Chayma. They're all water, fortified cities with high walls. Why are these cities specified? When they came to Israel, they sanctified these cities. Ask the Gemara, Kitchim? Does it mean that they were sanctified? Weren't they Hashta? That means, do you have to say that they were now sanctified? Your demand Amara holds that it doesn't require new re-sanctification. Ella says the Gemara, you're right. All cities that had status of Bais Erchaima retained that status. Rather, these cities were found and were enumerated. But the Gedush of Erchaima remains no matter what. And the Bais continues. Whatever city you'll have a tradition, they had a wall in the time of Yeshua Ben Nun, it has the din of Bati Erchaima. So we see that we have two positions if the Kedusha remains or not. Ask the Gemara, Kashta Rishmal, the Rishmal. But don't we have here exterior of Rishmal? One place Rishmal seems to say that only the cities that have a wall have now are considered Bais Erchaima. On the other hand, it seems that he says all cities. Answer the Gemara, try to not leave the Rishmal. There's a machloikas tanoim what Rishmal Rabbi Yossi holds. Vibay same, another teretz. The second brisa doesn't represent the position of Yishmael, rather represents the position of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosi. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosi Omer. The pasuk that tells us the rules about a city with a wall that we described earlier regarding Yovel, etc., uses the words Ashaloi Chayma. Loi is spelled, it should say Loi with a Vav, that has a city. But it's spelled Lamed Vav Aleph. Aleph means that it doesn't have a wall. So does it or doesn't it? Teaches us Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosi. Abishen le'akshav, even though it doesn't have a wall now, as long as it had a wall previously, it's considered a city with a wall, because the original Kedusha remains. So we see that this question, does the original Kedusha remain or not, is actually a Machlokes Tanon. It's interesting, the Rambam's position is that the status of Yerushalayim, that Kedusha remains, versus the status of Eretz Yisrael, that Kedusha does not remain. And he explains, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim comes because the Shechina was on the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, comes because the Beis HaMikdash was on that spot, and that Kedusha always remains. On the other hand, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael comes from the fact that we conquered Eretz Yisrael, and now when we no longer have it, that Kedusha doesn't remain. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. He holds that the two Kedushas travel together. There are Mefarshim that differentiate in the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael between what happened after the Churban Bayis Rishon versus what happened after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Eretz Yisrael that we received the first time with Yeshua, we conquered. So when we were put into Golos, that conquering, so to speak, ended, and the Kedusha ends. However, the second Beis HaMikdash was built with Kairish giving us permission. It wasn't through conquering. So nothing took away that Kedusha, and therefore that Kedusha may still remain. The question is that if the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash still remains, why can't we bring Karbonos on the Makom HaMikdash? So the Stipler quotes a chinuch that says there's certainly no mitzvah to bring a carbon when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing. So there's certainly not an issue should there be an obligation to bring a carbon. And the Aruch Lener, in fact, takes it a step further. He says that we know, as we learned Seyde V'Yikra, the purpose of bring kabonos is to make a reach nechoyach. Says the Aruch Lener, the pasuk says, "V'ashimaisi es mikdashechem v'loy aruch bereach nechoyachem." Once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, there won't be a reach nechoyach. So there really is no strong purpose in bringing a kabonos. But still, the Mefarsh and the Paiskim discuss may kabonos be brought, and there are many reasons that are given why kabonos should not be brought. Number one is the kabbonis have to be brought on the Mizbeach. We don't even know what the exact spot where the Mizbeach should be is. Furthermore, a Mizbeach, we know, the Torah tells us, was built with a shamir. It was a certain worm which they cut the stone with. We don't have a shamir. We also don't have tchelis to make the Big Day Kahuna. Moreover, we're not even sure exactly who are Kahanim. Although the Chassam Sofer says that we can rely on the fact that a Kohen who says he's a Kohen and has a Chazakah that is a Kohen, we could rely on that. And also we have the issue that we're Tamei. Therefore, even according to the Manda Omer, that the Kedusha of the area of the Beis HaMikdash remains, we do not bring Karbonos. The Gemara begins to discuss the Megillah. The Megillah begins with the words, Vayihi bimei achashverish. Om Rav Levi Tem Rav Yonason. Dovazeh besaris biyadeinu ma'anshe knesset sagdoilo. Kom mokam shenem vayihi. Wherever the pasuk uses the word vayihi, is eno eloshen tsar. It represents tsar, like the Mashal explains. Vayihi is vayihi. It's a cry for help. And the first example is the Megillah, it says vayihi bimei achashverish. And we know, have a Haman, there was Haman. The next examples, we may shvayt ashayftim, the beginning of Rus, and it says Rav, have Rav, there was a hunger. So the Mefarshim ask, the Gemara now is going to bring Psukim in the Torah to prove that Vayhi represents Tsar. So they ask, why did the Gemara first bring the Pasuk in Rus, and then go bring Psukim from the Torah? Shouldn't we first brought Psukim from the Torah, and then Psukim from Nach? So they explain, what happened by Achashverish and what happened in the beginning of Rus is very similar, same concept. The Megillah begins with the Suda that Achashverosh made, which from that Suda ultimately came the Yeshua, because Vashti was, as we will learn, Vashti was killed, and that opened up the way for Esther to become the queen. Similarly, the hunger, which was something obviously bad, that Sefer Rus begins with, was really the springboard for Yeshua, which caused that Rus should come out from Moav, from whom David and his family ultimately emanated. The pasuk says, "V'hi kehechal adam l'roif," as people began to multiply. "V'ya Hashem kirabaros adam," Hashem saw the wickedness of the people, which caused them to bring the mabul. So the Sfas Emes says, the pasuk here says, "V'yar Hashem," Hashem saw. What pshat Hashem saw? Hashem, we know, says the Masha, says the Sfas Emes, usually represents midas harachmim. Says the Sfas Emes, the people were so bad that even Hashem, even the midas harachmim, agreed that the mabul should be brought. The pasuk says, "Vehi benosam mikedem," when they came from the east, Havnav and Leir, the story of the Dar HaFlug, where they wanted to build a tower, and ultimately, as we learned, they, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, punished them by mixing up their languages. So I saw the Mefarshim asked, actually that parasha begins with a pasuk before, "Vehi kol ha'aretz sofa echad," all of the people of the world were, spoke one language. So why doesn't the Gemara ask the Mefarshim bring the first pasuk that is in that parasha? So I saw, because the Medrash says that when Mashiach comes, we're all going to speak the same language. So "Vehi kol ha'aretz sofa echad" is not a proof of something bad, because ultimately that's what's going to happen, and that's going to be a good thing. What is the proof for something bad? This pasuk that the Gemara quotes, "V'hi b'nosu mekedem." "V'hi b'meyam rafal," the pasuk says, "osu mechama," there was a war. "V'yimei b'yoyes Yeshua b'ruichai," was when Yeshua was in Yerichai, "and v'chaba shlufa b'yadai," the Gemara we learned at the beginning of Masechta, where the Malach wanted to challenge Yeshua. "V'hi Hashem as Yeshua," Hashem was with Yeshua when he conquered Yerichai, "and Yeshua made a decree that nobody should take anything from Yerichai." "V'yimalu Bnei Yisrael," and Bnei Yisrael transgressed that commandment. "V'hi ish echem remesayim," there was one person from Remesayim, Malakena, Shmuel's father, and then the pasuk says, "Kes Chana of Hashav," he loved Chana, "Vashem Sagarachma," but she didn't have any children. The pasuk says, "V'hi kashesak in Shmuel," Shmuel becomes old, "V'lai holcha banav drachav," his children didn't follow his ways. "V'hi David l'chad drachav mask v'Hashem imah," David was successful, Hashem was with him, but then the pasuk says, "V'hi shol oynas David," David, Shol did not look at David favorably. "V'hi kishah shvamel bebeisai," David was sitting in his home in Yerushalayim, and he wanted to build a base of Mikdash, and he gets the message, "Rak ata lois of nabais," you will be, not be the person building the base of Mikdash. Ask the Gemara, does v'yihi always represent something bad? "V'ksivihi b'yoy mashmini," there was the eighth day when the base, when the Mishkan was erected. "V'tanya oisa yoyim haisa simchul f'nei Kodesh Baruch Hu," that day there was so much joy by Kodesh Baruch Hu, "ki yoyim shenivar bo shemayim v'aretz," like the day that shemayim v'aretz were created, "ksiv hacha," as the pasuk says here, "v'yihi b'yoyim ha'shmini," "v'ksiv hasam," it says at the beginning, "v'yihi b'yoyim yoyim echot," answers the Gemara, that day wasn't such a great day of joy, because that was the day Hashachav Nadav Aviyu, that Nadav Aviyu passed away on. Ask the Mefarshim, why does the Gemara have to bring the pasuk of "Yehi Baika Yoim Echad" to prove that the day of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, was such a day of joy? Of course it was a day of joy. Without the pasuk of "Yehi Baika Yoim Echad," we know that. So Mefarshim explain, what happened on the day that the Mishkan was erected? For the Zayin Yemei Meluim, for the seven previous days, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that was doing the Avoida in the Beit HaMikdash. Comes the eighth day, and Moshe Rabbeinu selflessly gives up his position to his brother Aaron. Such a wonderful, selfless act is so great to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like V'hi Erevi V'yikir Yom Echad, just like the creation of the world. The Gemara asks another pasuk where we see Vayihi doesn't necessarily represent something bad. It says, "V'hi b'yom shmoinim shana v'arba'a mashana," it was 480th year, B'ksiv, and that's when the Beis HaMikdash was built by Shlomo. It says, V'hi kishara Yaakov es Rachel. When Yaakov sees Rachel, and ultimately they got married, Rachel was one of the Imahs. K'siv Yerev Yivayikav Yom Echad. We just explained, that was the creation of the world. V'ksiv, and furthermore, V'kisheni, it says, V'yerev Yivayikav Yom Sheni, V'kishlishi, it says it by the third day, V'ketuva, V'hi we have many times asked the Gemara, not representing something bad. The Yavetz explains, why does the Gemara just go till the third day? So he explains. On the first day, we know that this till the third day, the simcha of the creation of the world wasn't complete. On the first day, the world was still very, so to speak, raw. On the second day is the day that the Gehenna was created. But Yom HaShlishi was the day of perfect joy. In fact, as we know, Yom HaShlishi is the day that the Pasuk uses the word Ki Toiv twice. And therefore, Yom HaShlishi is the representative of good. And therefore the Gemara asks, how can we say that he represents something not good? Amar Rav Ashi. So therefore Rav Ashi answers, Kol Heiche, Kol Vayihi, if the Pasuk just uses the word Vayihi, Ikahochi Vikahochi. It could go either way. It could be represent good and it could represent not good. However, Vayihi B'mei, if the Pasuk uses the word Vayihi B'mei, Eina El Lashon Tzar, that only could represent something painful. And as the Mashal explains, because the Torah could have just used the words B'mei, by adding the word Vayihi, it comes to represent a Tzar. Says the Gemara Chamisha Vayihi B'mei Hava. The word Vayihi B'mei is found in the Tanakh 5 times. Vayihi B'mei Achashverus, Vayihi B'mei Shvayit HaShayftim, Pesukim that we quoted, Vayihi B'mei Amrafel, Vayihi B'mei Achaz, which represents when they came to attack Yerushalayim, Vayihi B'mei Yoyakim, which talks about the Churban Bayis Rishon. Om Rebbe Levi, Dovazem V'seres B'yadeinu M'avaseinu. We have the following tradition. Amitz V'amtziyo Achum Hava. Amitz V'amtziyo were brothers. Amitz was the father of Yishayo, and Amtziyo was a Melech Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Maika Mashmal, what's Rabbi Levi come to teach us? Says the Gemara, Kihod, Amar Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonason. Kol kala shitznu b'beis chameh. Any kala that acts modestly in a farmer's home, Zoy chaviyotim b'na melachim v'nevim, will have as descendants kings and nevim. How do we know that? Minola and mitomar. Tiksiv, v'yira Yehuda, Yehuda saw, v'yachshivel azonik kiss panel. Ask the Gemara, Bishum the Chis Panel, because she covered her face, V'yachshavel Zayna, that's the reason she should be considered a Zayna. Ella, explains the Gemara, Bishum the Chis Panel, V'beis Chameo, since she was always modest in her father's home, V'loi have a Yadala, and therefore her father Yehuda did not know what she looks like, and therefore when he came to have relations with her, he didn't recognize her, Zachav Yatzman and Malachim and Nevim, in that Tzchus, she had such great descendants. Malachim Midavid, and Nevi'im, Damar Avivi, Mesaris B'Yedenim Avaseinu, Amitzam Tziyo Achim Havo, and they were descendants of Yehuda, Miksiv Chazoyin Yishiyo Ben Amot, and the Pasuk, the Medrash says, if his father, if a Navi's father is mentioned, it must be because he's a Navi Ben Navi. Mepharshim asks, why do we have to bring a proof from Yeshaya that she had descendants of Nevi'im? Why don't we bring a proof from David and Shlomo? So some of Farshim want to suggest, they say the Zohar says this, that David actually did not have the status of a Navi. Others suggest that in those days there were people whose, so to speak, profession was being a Navi. That was what Yeshaya was. He was a full-fledged Navi. David, on the other hand, was really a Melech who also happened to see Nevuah. Another pshat is, David HaMelech, Nevuah, he was worthy of in his own tzchus, not because he was a descendant of Tamar. Another pshat, David's whole life was really not his own tzchus, as we know that the 70 years that David lived, he got from Adam Arishans. We don't bring a proof from David. Rafashim explained, why is a woman who acts betznius get this schar that she should have Nevi'im and Melachim as her descendants? So they explain, generally a kala is a person who everyone is paying attention to, everybody's looking. She, a girl, a woman, who on the other hand separates herself and is not, does not want to be the center of attention, she will become, she will have descendants who are Nevi'im and Malachim, who are also separated from all other people, are greater than everyone else, or are separated than everybody else that lead the nation in Ruchnius and in Gashmius. Another pshat I saw is that we know the pasuk says Kol Kvuda Basmelech Pnima. The beauty of a Jewish woman is Tzinius. A Navi and a Melech also represent the splendor of Klal Yisrael, because she acted in a way of beauty. She has children who are beautiful. I saw another pshat, Amitz v'amtziyo achim. The Mefarshim explained, Amitz is somebody strengthens himself, as somebody resolves to do the right thing, amtziyo, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to help him, will give him the Sa'at Shemaya. Amitz, if you strengthen yourself, Amtza Ka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you Siyat HaDishmaya. Vam Reb Levi, Dov Zem Mesarit B'Yedenim HaVaseinu. We have the following tradition. Makam Aron Enim in Amidah. The place that the Aron took up in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, didn't take up any room. Tayin HaMihachi. Aron Sh'asa Moshe, Yesh Loi Esa Amis L'Chal Ruach. The Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu built had 10 Amis to each side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, even though the whole Kodesh HaKadoshim of the Mishkan that Moshe built was only 10 Amos wide. The Ksiv, and the Pasuk says it. The Pasuk says regarding the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo built, Lufnei Advir Esim Ama Arach. The area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 Amos wide. The Ksiv, and it says that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim there was Knaf HaKruf HaEchod Es Amos. There was the wing of one of the kruvim was 10 amos, the knafa kruv acher es amos, and the other kruv was 10 amos. So if the two kruvim were 10 amos each, taking up 20 amos, and the whole width of the room was 20 amos, so the question is, Aron gufa hecha avakai, where was the room for Aron? El alav, shma mena, benes hayoimid. It must be that there was a nes and didn't take up any room. But Farshim asks, why do we need that this should be a Messiah, asked the Sfasemis. Here we see clearly that the pasuk is teaching us that there was the Aron doesn't take up any space. Answers the Sfasemis. The Messiah doesn't come to teach us what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk is very clear that in the Beis HaMikdash the Aron didn't take up any room. The Messiah is for the Aron Sh'asa Moshe. There is no pasuk clearly indicating that in the Mishkan also the Aron didn't take up any space. For that, we rely on a Messiah. And I saw a very nice pshat explaining this Gemara Pidrush. The Gemara, we know, the pasuk says, that the Mishnah says, there are three crowns. Kesa Kahuna, Kesa Malchus, and Kesa Torah. Kesa Kahuna went to the Kohanim. Kesa Malchus went to Shevet Yehuda. Kesa Torah, says the Mishnah, everybody has a right to obtain the Kesa Kahuna. Say the Mefarshim, that's Pshat in this Gemara. The Shulchan, which represents Keser Malchus, has specific measurements, because the Shulchan represents Malchus, which goes to the Shevet David. Keser Kahuna, which is represented by the Mizbeach, also has specific dimensions, because the Malchus, the Kahuna, belongs to Shevet of Aaron, to Shevet Kahanim. Keser Torah doesn't have a midah. There is no space, there is no specific place, there is no specific family, there is no specific group that has the Torah. Everybody has the Torah as long as they learn the Torah. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Pasuk La Piskel High Purchase of Mahacham. Rabbi Yochanan began learning the Megillah, he would say the following introduction. It says in the Pasuk of Kamti Aleihem, I will rise up against them. V'chratilam shem u'sheher nim v'neched num Hashem. I'll destroy all their relatives, their family, and their future, so says Hashem. Shem, zek sav. Shem refers to their way they write, the script. And like the Mashal explains, when a person writes, he signs his name, and that's why Shem represents the script. Sher Zaloshin refers to the language, because people who are, Sher means relatives, people who are relatives generally speak to each other. So the Mefarshim asks, Tosfos asks, how can we say that the language of Bavel is no longer here? We still have Aramaic. So he says there was apparently a language that was spoken by the upper class people, and that language no longer exists. Another pshat is that the language is no longer as popular as it was in those times. Nin Zamalkus refers to the kingdom. Venechad refers to Zavashti, who was a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, who, as we know at the beginning of the Megillah, we are taught was killed. He introduced the Megillah this way. The pasuk says, "Tachas hanatzot yal v'roish." Instead of the thorn, a cypress will come up. Sachas a serpent, and instead of a nettle, yal hadas, a myrtle will come up. Tachas hanatzot, tachas haman arosha, in the place of haman arosha, sha'asa atzmai avoid zara, that made himself into avoid zara. The ksiv. Ubechol hanatzutzim bekol nahalim. The avoid zara is compared to a thorn. Yal b'roish. Zematcha shenikar roish lekol apsamim. Came matcha in his place, was considered a roish. Shenemar at the kachel chapsamim roish mar dror. Metagamin and mari dachi. So Mardechai represents the ktiris. So Mefarshim explain what is meant by representing the ktiris. So one pshat I saw is that we know that one of the psalmim that were put into the Ketores was the Levina, which didn't have such a great smell. But it comes to represent that all of Klal Yisrael have to come together for Avodas Hashem. And that's exactly what Mordechai did. Lech Knois es Kol HaYehudim. He gathered together all the Jews, and as the Ketores gathers together all the different types. Another pshat is that the Ketores, we know, Chumash teaches us, is what holds back the Magefa, and Mordechai held back the Magefa from Klal Yisrael. Another pshat is that we know that the nace of the Megillah is a nace that's behester. We don't really see the nace. So too, the Ketores was brought in the base, in the base of Migdash, in the Mishkan, in a, not in public sight. Tachas a serpent instead of the nettle. Tachas Vashti Arisha, Vas Benoish Nebuchadnezzar Arisha, the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, Shesara for Fidus Beis Hashem, who burnt the Beis HaMikdash, the Ksiv, Rifidoso Yzov, the Beis HaMikdash is his resting place made out of gold, Yala Hadas, Zu Esther, Esther will rise up, Hatzadeka Shenikra Hadasa, Shenema as the Pasuk calls her, as the Pasuk in the Megillah calls her Hadasa, V'yi Oymen as Hadasa. V'hoya Hashem L'Hashem, so Mikra Megillah. So the Mefarshim is saying, what does it say, Mikra Megillah? Because in the Megillah itself, there is no Shem Hashem. However, when Mikra Megillah, when we read the Megillah, and we say a bracha on the Megillah, then the Shem Hashem comes out. Lois Olam Lo Yikares, Eli Mei Purim. Which we know, the Gemara says that the Mei Purim will never become abolished. Rav Shu ben Levi, Pasla Piskol Ahai Parasha Sumehacham. V'hoya, Kashisos Hashem Aleichem, Leitiv Eschem, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoiced to do for you good, Ken Yosis Lahara Eschem, so he will rejoice to harm you. Ask the Gemara, O Michada HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mepamalotzen Shal Rishoyim, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy when Rishoyim fall? V'ksib et Seis Lefnei Chamotz, when they go out from the army, V'am Mehoid Lashem Ki Toiv Lelum Chazdai, V'am Rabbi Yoichanan, why doesn't it say kitoiv in this praise? This refers to Rishoyim's downfall, and it's not something HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoices over. They did not come near each other all night. By Kriyas Yamsuf, the Malachim wanted to say Shira. Zel Zeh is what the Malachim say, as we know in the Kedusha. Am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'aseh Yodai Tovim B'Yam, my handiwork are drowning, V'atah Amar Shira, you want to say Shira? So we don't say Shira when there's Tzaris, and that's the basis, as we spoke already, that in Shvi Shal Pesach we don't say the whole Hallel. And in fact, because we don't say whole Hallel in Shvi Shal Pesach, the Torah says we don't say Hallel even on Chol HaMoed, not to treat Chol HaMoed better than Shvi Shal Pesach. So the question is, how did we say the Shira after Kriyas Yam Suf? So Farshim explained that the Shira is allowed to be said, we're not allowed to say Hallel during the Tzara, but after the Tzara, Hallel may be said. Amar Elazar, who ain't a sus? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't rejoice. Aval Cheir Meisus, he makes other people rejoice by making the Rishayim rejoice at that time. It caused Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. V'dai Kenami, the Ksiv, Kein Yosses, he will make rejoice. V'lek Ksiv Yosses, that he rejoices. Shema Minah. Rav Avaka, an apostle, la Peskel, high precious of Mahacham. His introduction to Megillah. La'adim Shetayv L'fonav, the person HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who pleases HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nosun Chachm V'das V'Simcha, gave wisdom, knowledge, and joy. So Matcha Tzadik refers to Matcha Tzadik. L'chayte is Nosun Inyan Lesser V'lichnois, to a sinner he said they should gather in a mass, say Haman. L'asu Tayl of Nelakim, the Matcha V'Esther, the Ksiva Tosum Esther, Matcha Beis Haman, Esther Matcha ultimately prevailed. Rabbi Ofrim Pasul Parashat L'Mehachab, V'Samti Kisi Be'Elam, I will put my throne in Elam, V'Matu Shamel V'Sarim. Melech, which king was destroyed, was Vashti. Vesarim, which Rishoyim were killed, Zahamim Vesaris Banav.